Okay, Rick, this is what happens during the break.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely bugger all, yeah. Hello, welcome to episode 51 of Bottom Up. This month, we're joined by our good friend Rick to discuss the game that he suggested for the book club, Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rain-Slick Precipice of Darkness. We'll also be discussing E3's cancellation, Resident Evil 4, and Plague Inc. Evolved. Hello, welcome to episode 51 of Bottom Up. My name is Ollie. I'm joined, as I always am, by the man called Tibbs. Hello. Tibbs.
Hello.
And additionally, we've got a third member of the Bottom Up crew today. His name is Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming on. Rick's been a Bottom Up super fan over the years. The closest thing we've got to a super fan, I think. Yeah, we've had a lot of chatting on Twitter here and there. So, he's picked the book club game for us this month, which is, and I'm going to have to reference my notes because I completely fail to remember the name of the game every single. It's the longest. It's the Penny Arcade game anyway. We'll get to it later, but it's a Penny Arcade RPG. But before we get to that, we do our what we've been playing. And Rick, as you're the guest here, perhaps you'd like to start. What have you been up to? What you've been playing? What you've been picking up? Anything like that? What you've been doing?
Yeah, cool. I've been off work all week, like just booked a week's holiday, so I've got a lot of playing in. I'm big into like the whole trophy hunting thing, you know, on PlayStation. It's so I'm in a few friendly competitions, shall we say, for that. So I've been racking up the trophies this week. So I've been playing I've been playing a game called New Star Manager, which is just like a football manager game where you sort of half play the matches in between. It's real teams, but not real players. It's very, very simple. It's like baby's first football manager.
Nice. I think I'd need that if I wanted to go into the football management sphere. Definitely.
Yeah. Back in the day, I used to play like Championship Manager. I think 97, 98, that's sort of where it peaked for me. Mm-hmm. I've not played any of the newer ones, but this just tickles, scratches at it. I've been playing some of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Red is Revenge, it's called, isn't it?
Shredder's
Revenge. Yeah.
Yeah, we've both played that. We talked about it on the show previously. It's good, isn't it?
That's so good.
Yeah, it's not quite. Streets of Rage 4 is better to me, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
But, and I bought this when it came out, and I've only played like the first two. I thought it'd be brilliant. That'd be a great one to play with my son, and he was just like not interested in the slightest. And it just put me off a bit. So I played like the first two stages with him, and he was like, "Oh, I don't like this, Dad." So I was like,
"Oh, that's a shame." Because you played Streets of Rage 2 with him, didn't you? You did a video.
Yeah, Streets of Rage 2 and Streets of Rage 4. We played through that together as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. He wasn't into the Turtles then.
But no, not really.
Before his time.
I don't know if he was just. Using me really to by playing Streets of Rage 4. He doesn't seem to want to go back to many Mega Drive games now. So I'm failing with the parent on that front. But so we've been playing that. Been playing a bit of Super Hang On, Mega Drive game, but just playing it on PS3 again, just because I could get trophies while I was playing it.
Is that on the Mega Drive Sonic Mega Drive collection thing?
No, it's just a release on PSN.
They did a few of those
Mega Drive collection as well, but yeah, it's just a release on PSN.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can cheese the achievements and the trophies on that Mega Drive collection so easy because it accepts all the games except the cheat codes.
Yeah.
And so you get like an achievement for reaching like level 10 of Rice Star or something. And you could just use the level select, go to it, done. You got
Yeah.
the achievement.
Nice.
Funnily enough, I've been playing that on the but I've been playing the Genesis collection. I've already done the Mega Drive collection one, like got all the trophies on it. So I've been playing the Genesis version because that's got a separate list. So I've been playing a bit of
Oh,
that.
has it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's funny. There's some games where you'll get two separate trophy lists, and I won't bore you about trophies anyway. It's a very boring subject unless you're into it. Who the hell is this guy? What is he talking about trophies? We're here to talk about games.
No, that's all right. Carry on, carry on. Trophy away.
I've been playing Skyrim as well. I've always got some Skyrim on the go.
Yeah, my wife's been addicted to that on two separate occasions,
Yeah.
Skyrim. I've played it a bit as well. It is good.
I think it might be my favourite game of all time.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those all-time great open world things, isn't it? Like,
Yeah.
well, the first time I played it, I was like, so you can literally just go and do anything, do any pick up any quest you want to do, and then just like forge your own path through it. And yeah, I was pretty blown away by that at the
Yeah.
time.
What else have we been playing? I've been playing a game called Plague Inc. Evolved. Have either of you played that?
No, I
Yes.
haven't.
Yeah, I think it came out just before COVID happened, I think, and I don't know whether COVID helped them or hindered them. I'd imagine it boosted the sales a bit. It's like you start off infecting one person with like a virus, and the aim is to destroy the world, basically. Just
Yeah.
get everyone infected with this virus and then kill everyone at the end. So it's
They got a COVID DLC, haven't they,
Oh
now,
my
I
God,
think.
really?
I've seen that, but I've not played it yet. I think you have to cure it, don't you?
Yeah, you got to try and combat and defeat COVID. So it's sort of like the game sort of turned on its head a bit. So yeah, it's a good one.
That's quite interesting because I seem to remember when COVID first broke out, I think it was Apple who banned all mention of COVID on any new apps that came in, so you couldn't make like a
Oh,
COVID
right,
app
yeah.
like for, as a game. So that's quite interesting.
Oh, that's funny. On the game, one of the little things that pops up is Apple. Or I don't think you'll call it Apple. I think they call it like Pear or something like that, to avoid copyright. But they're like, Pear are releasing their new iCure app due next year. But yeah, it's very good. The scenarios you can start as a bacteria or a virus or a parasite or whatever. But and there's one that's where it's fake news. I haven't played that yet. Obviously, I think Trump was like going on about fake news around when the game came out. And
Yeah. What sort of game is it, as in genre wise?
it's like a strategy game, I
Yeah.
suppose.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Yeah, you start off and you start off infecting your first person, then you have a whole different you get DNA points that build up as you play. The more people get infected and when new countries get infected and things like that. And then that you use the DNA points to buy different ways of transmission. So that your virus becomes a lot more contagious and things like that, and then eventually you start building up symptoms all the way up to like total organ failure, and that you want to wait till you've like infected the whole world, and then you just bam hit them with that total organ failure and just watch them all. Well, you don't watch them; you watch the numbers just come down from like 8 billion down to zero.
Oh, that
It's
sounds
good.
quite fascinating.
It is. It's. I don't know why it works. It's not really so. I'm not really big on strategy games, but I just seem to enjoy this one a lot. I don't know what that says about my personality, but
What was it called again? I missed the title.
Plague Inc. Evolve.
Plague Inc. Evolve.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
It's funny. It reminds me. I never played World of Warcraft. It was never my sort of thing. But I remember there was a thing that happened there. There was a boss encounter that you could have. And one that it could cast a spell on you called Infected Blood, and it caused your character to sort of deplete their health, basically, something like that. And it was meant to, when the boss encounter ended, that status ailment was supposed to be removed from your character, but there was some kind of glitch and it didn't. And so when someone left the boss encounter, it started spreading to everyone else. When they went into like the public lobbies, the infected blood would spread to someone, they would spread to someone else, and it was like decimating whole servers. But it was like an actual,
That's really interesting. Yeah.
yeah. And there were like epidemiologists and sociologists actually studying it to see if they could use it as a like a real world model for virus transmission and things like that. But it's really
Yeah.
interesting.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
But yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Rick?
Got no other than the book called game. No, that's it.
Okay. Tibbs, what you been up to?
I've I can't remember what it's called.
Okay, describe it and we'll guess it.
It's roller skates and guns.
New or old?
Yes,
new.
Yes, new. Well, newish. It was in the Humble Bundle.
Oh,
I'm just having a look now.
Knockout City?
No. It is Rollerdrome.
No, I don't know that. That's quite a fun game, though, wasn't it? Perhaps we should do that more often. Just guess the game.
just guess the
like
game.
Like Pictionary, yeah.
No, it's really good. It's like it's single player, and you got these rollerblades, your little person on rollerblades, and you scoot around these arenas, and you've got to kill all the different enemies. Like different enemies spawn in there, and you refill your ammo by doing tricks and sort of going up half pipes and pull a trick, and the more points you score, the more your ammo refills, and you just have to survive in this arena, and the enemies that spawn get more and more powerful as you go on. It's lovely, all sort of cell shaded graphics. It's really not yet really neat little game. It gets very difficult very quickly. There's a bit of a steep learning curve on it. But yeah, I had a great time with it. That was on the Humble Choice for April.
Oh yeah,
this one. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, they also had Death Stranding Director's Cut, which I've already got. So we can add
it to the list.
Add the key, the Steam key to the the ever growing list.
Fire it over. Yeah, someone's going to pick these up sooner or later.
yes, someday someone will be interested in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I played that, and that's the main thing that's taken up my time. That
okay.
I obviously the book club pick, but a lot of the other time it's been dipping in and out of games. There's not been any game that's really sort of I've focused my attention on that. I picked up Sonic Origins again because you know in preparation for the Sonic Origins Plus thing coming out.
Yeah,
was that announced by the time for the last show, or has it been since?
No, I think that was just after. Yeah, so it's coming out, isn't it? So
yeah.
I can't remember what's in it. You can play as Amy, I know that.
It's Amy and the Game Gear games, basically.
And the Game Gear games, even though everyone's telling them put the Master System versions of the games that are on the Master System, for God's sakes. But
yes, put the Master System versions on. Put Knuckles Chaos 6 on it.
Yeah, but they haven't done that.
But you can play as Amy, so...
yeah.
Okay. I'll buy it.
Is that a DLC or is that a new release of it?
So that's DLC. So they released Sonic Origins last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah, so the DLC is coming out.
Right.
It's paid DLC as well.
But it's also on the physical as well, so they got a physical with all the whole thing coming out as well.
Yeah.
Which we were asking for last year, weren't we?
Yeah. That's what I mean. I'm going to get it just because it's going to come, you know, physical release. I'll probably get that on Switch, to be honest. But
yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's not been much really. I've just been sort of that's what I played through. Super Mario 3D World Land,
the Wii U slash Switch one, the Wii U one.
Yeah, I played it on the Wii U, but I played it on my Steam Deck.
Oh, nice! How did it work?
To try out the perfect, absolutely sweet, isn't that? Honestly,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it works so well. It's a bit of a faff to get going because you need a hackable switch basically to do it, because you need to dump the encryption keys from the switch, and you need all the you need to be able to run Homebrew on the switch to dump the files you need and then copy them over to the Steam Deck. But once you've done all that, it works great. Yeah. I played through start to finish Super Mario 3D World. I tried a bit of Splatoon, which worked fine. And I tried Fast Racing Neo. That sort of
I love that game. Yeah,
yeah. I played that. Works perfectly. So yeah, that's all I've tried so far. But yeah, they all worked really, really well. And that was a lot of the guides for it say you need to, you know, do all these tweaks and stuff for the Steam Deck to give it, you know, more memory to use and all this. I didn't do any of that, and it worked fine for me just with us stock settings. So yeah,
fantastic.
So yeah, that's been it for me.
When you play in your Steam Deck, do you play it mostly at home or do you play out and about with it?
No, I play mostly at home. I have it docked on the telly, basically.
Oh,
right. I have played it in the car when we've had to go somewhere. I pop it in, you know, take it with me in the car, and it, you know, had no trouble with it. When I played, I can't remember what it was now. Oh, Tetris Effect. that ran down the battery quite quickly. I only got about an hour and a half playing Tetris Effect on there. But if you're playing like for emulation stuff, like especially the older generation, so if you're playing like 16-bit, 32-bit stuff on there, the battery life is not a problem, and it works great when it's docked. So yeah, I love it. It's a great little machine.
Ironic,
yeah, it's very impressive, isn't it?
The original handheld game wears down the battery the most.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right. Shall I finish off with my gaming, or have you
not
got
interested,
any...
mate? Not interested, mate. Oh, right. Let's get on with it.
Just never mind about me. I've got not much anyway. I've got the game that you recommended to me, actually, Super Kiwi 64.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely little platformer.
It's great.
I just wish it was a bit longer because it's only like an hour long, but it's just it's lovely, isn't
it's
it?
Super bit... short. It could really do with a little bit of fleshing out, but it's a really nice little
idea
there.
So basically, you play as a little kiwi bird, and it's like all sort of N64 style graphics, and it's kind of these little bite-sized collectathon levels where you just go in. It's like quite a small area, and you've got to collect six of these things, and you've got to collect some of the other things to get the thing. So it's just it's lots of collecting, really. But it feels great. Like the controls are really responsive. It's quite forgiving. You know, you can sort of glide around and run and quite fast. And it feels great. And by the end of it, I just wanted more. I just want like about two or three times that at least, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I thought. If they could flesh that out a bit, a few more levels, you know, maybe a few dump a few little characters in there to talk to, and you know, all that kind of stuff, you could make something really nice out of that.
Yeah, I don't think it would take much more effort either. I mean, even if you reuse some of the level themes and just made more of the same levels and just put a bit more stuff on it, it'd be great. But it's quite cheap. It's only got a couple of quid anyway, so it's not
it's like £2.50, isn't
yeah
it?
So it's not like, you know, not worth the money, but it's just it's so good. I just wanted more. I think there's another one like Kiwi 64, which this is a sequel of, so I might have a look at that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think I read that somewhere when looking it up, yeah, but somewhere I'll have a look at that as well. But yeah, I played through that. The only other thing, really, other than the book club, I played have you seen The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog? Have you seen this game?
Oh, I saw it. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. So on April Fool's Day, Sega brought out this what I thought was just a trailer for like what I thought was a fake Sonic game, which was like a murder mystery visual novel style game in which all the characters are having like a murder mystery thing and Sonic is the one that's been murdered. And it had the trailer. And I thought, oh, that's quite a funny joke. And it says, go and get it for free on Steam now. And they've made this whole game just for April Fool's Day. So it's a real thing. It's like 2 or 3 hours long, I think. And it's just, it's really good. It's quite well written. It's quite entertaining. It's just like a sort of visual novel thing, a bit like, I'm guessing, Phoenix Wright, although I haven't played it, but that sort of thing, you know, detective kind of thing. You just sort of interrogate different characters and look for clues and things like that. So I haven't quite finished it yet, but I'm almost at the end. But yeah, I'd recommend it since it's free.
I downloaded it because I saw it pop up. Well, I saw it come up on Steam. Your friends are playing, and I saw you've been playing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't like it. So I download that. Because Sega have got a habit of when they did those free games before, and then they took them off. Or what?
Yeah, it's worth grabbing it when you can. I think it's still up.
Yeah, so I thought I'm going to grab it straight away. Yeah. But yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd recommend that. It's good. And that's it, actually. I've just reached the end of this. Those two things, sorry. I haven't had loads of gaming time this month, and I haven't done loads of the book club games. I'm hoping you guys can fill in anything that I lack on that front.
News.
Do a bit of news. I haven't got much, but E3 cancelled.
Is anyone surprised?
Well, no. Everyone was pulling it out every day, really. More people were pulling out, so... Yeah, it's a shame though, because it is quite exciting when E3 rolls around. And they all just come out with, "Hey, this game, you know, first footage of this game."
I think I said before, when I was a kid, I think it was one of the PlayStation magazines, PlayStation Plus or something. They gave away a videotape on the front. I think it was E3. It might have been 2000, and it was just like, you know, footage from the show floor. I thought it looked like the best thing ever.
Yeah,
you know, I always thought, God, I imagine being there. Then I went to Eurogamer Expo that year.
Yeah.
Not in 2000. It was like years later. The year I went, whenever whatever year it was when they were giving out the on live consoles, And it was just queues. Everything was just queue.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's what E3 is like. It's just queue world.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's a new Silent Hill game. There's a 40-minute queue to play it, and you get 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, so, it is. I've been to a couple of those, and they are all just queues. Yeah.
Great atmosphere. You know, lovely atmosphere, but you don't
Be prepared
to
wait
play
a lot.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
But yeah, I suppose it is a shame. I think the writing was on the wall when Nintendo started doing Directs. I think that changed the game for everyone.
You can see it from the developer's point of view, can't you? Because why put all the money and effort into getting like demos and things ready and going out there and setting up booths and things when you can just put out something whenever you want so it's not competing with everyone else at the same time?
Yeah.
So you can totally see why they do it. But as a gamer, it is exciting to get all the stuff in one like 2 week period. You know.
Yeah.
So I'll miss that.
I know we've got the Game Awards now, but it doesn't feel the same, does it?
No.
I think the Game Awards feels a bit more commercial, and I know E3 is you know an industry expo, so by definition it's commercial, but it felt more like, I don't know, it just felt more authentic than the Game Awards, which just feels like a stream of adverts, basically. So,
yeah,
it's a shame. But, you know, like Rick said, is anyone really surprised at this point? It's been circling the drain for a few years now.
Yeah, obviously COVID didn't help either, did it?
No.
Any sort of favourite E3 memories that you can think of off the top of your head?
Probably the PS2. The year they showed off the PS2 with all the like the Gran Turismo demo and the footage of the bouncer, which I think everyone thought was going to be a really great new Square Enix game or Squaresoft game, and it turned out to be not really that anything that special. But just being wowed by all those, you know, all the graphics, can you know, the generational leap from like the 32-bit PS1 stuff to what the PS2 was doing, just mind blowing. What about you, Rick? Any particular memories of E3?
To be honest, I've never really paid that much attention. I've only read stuff in the magazines or whatever, or maybe watched the old video afterwards. I've never bothered while it's on. The only thing that jumps out in my head is the 299 mic drop.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's famously.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's about it.
That's legendary, that.
Yeah, it is. It's when... it's the first one, isn't it, when the Saturn and PS1 were first announced, and
Saturn was 399, I think, wasn't it? But with that, you got like a game and whatever else you got. With the PlayStation, that was it for the PS1, but then you had to buy a memory card, however much they were, and then you had to buy a game separate. So it worked out the same price anyway. It's just all bad marketing, wasn't it?
It's just marketing, isn't it? Yeah.
It was just marketing, yeah. It was just that single soundbite, you know, that's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh well. So it probably won't come back. You don't think? So they're saying it's cancelled this year, but they haven't said it's cancelled completely. But you know, it doesn't seem likely, does it? At least not in as it was. You know.
I'm gonna say not in the form that we associate it with. If it comes back at all, it'll be in a very different form, I think. But
originally, it was all just electronics and stuff, wasn't it? You had washing machines there and Hoovers and all sorts of stuff. And I think gaming just took over, didn't it?
I think it did have its origins. Yeah, it's sort of a spin-off from the consumer electronics thing, didn't it?
CES was that. Yes, yeah, that's where it sort of spun off from. And they would have like, I think they weren't very, video games weren't very well treated at that either. They would be pushed at the back, and all the electronics would be at the front. But so that's why E3 was created, to get away from that and to focus on video games. Yeah. Oh well. Just got to look forward to various Nintendo Directs and state of plays and whatever else.
And funny enough, you know, relating to the game that we're talking about today, the Penny Arcade Expo is taking a big sort of spot on the calendar now.
I suppose that is one thing. The smaller venues can now sort of up their games a bit and fill in that gap, can't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else anyone wants to talk about? Anyone seen the Mario movie yet?
I went to see it with my son on Wednesday, I think. It's pretty good. I sat there at the end and I turned to him and said, which did you prefer, James, Mario or Sonic? And he said Sonic, and I thought Sonic wouldn't be
better. Nice.
it was good. It's decent.
Yeah.
It's got all those little Easter eggs in and stuff like that. Just you know, it gives you the nostalgia hit, everything you need really from it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. We're hoping to see it tomorrow. But it does look like it's just loaded with like Mario references, more so than a video game movie normally would be.
Yeah,
you know,
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Is it basically just like a Mario game on the screen?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, have you seen the trailers? Any of them?
Yeah,
I've seen most of them. Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen the whole like Rainbow Road section, and there's like a bit where it looks like it's side-scrolling platformer where you've got Mario and Donkey Kong running along.
Yeah,
it's very much. It's very much set piece to set piece, I thought, rather than.
Yeah.
The story's all right. But Jack Black does a brilliant job as Bowser. And what's his name? Carey Payton or something, is it? The guy that was in The Walking Dead that he did, like, voices the Penguin King. So you've got this little penguin and he's like, a deep voice. It's fantastic.
Yes, we saw that in the first trailer. He does, it does look very good. And I think at Tibbs, we were saying that Jack Black looks like he's going to do well in this.
Yeah.
This film is about it, didn't we? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Right. And anyone else got anything to say before we move on to the big show?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I suppose I'd have a quick moan about it. I can't really. I'm only moaning in principle. But Resident Evil 4, the remake.
Yeah.
Came out. Everyone loved it. Getting good reviews across the board. So Capcom did the only thing that they thought necessary and patched in some microtransactions after all the reviews were in. It's unbelievable. I don't know.
In afterwards.
You know,
that's
just
really
whack
funny.
Them in afterwards.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
did see
what,
that.
What should we do? You know, they're going to hate it. They're going to hate it if we put microtransactions in. Well, put them in a week later. It's fine.
Didn't they do the same thing with 2 and 3? Is it the same way you can just buy the guns and you could buy like a rocket launcher and things like that to start the game with if you want? It's stuff that you'd get as end game rewards, but if you don't want to play the game, here, we'll just buy it. Just give us and they're just cheap, you know, aren't they? They're like £2.50 or something like that, so people would go,
just buy that.
Yeah, I'll pay that. It's only £2.50.
Yeah, I can't be bothered to play this game. I'll just buy my way through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently, like you can, they're called golden tickets or something, and you can trade them with the merchant in the game to like get the best upgrade, the best weapons, all that kind of stuff. And you can earn enough credits in game to get one of these golden tickets, but apparently during like an average playthrough, if you were, you know, you're not hunting down every possible collectible, but you were making an effort to collect it. You were working towards getting all the upgrades. You would have enough to upgrade one of the weapons after one single playthrough. So if you wanted to do them, if you wanted to get them all, you'd have to play the game like, I don't know, however many weapons there are, 7, 8, 9 times, or just pay a fiver, pay us an extra a couple of quid, sort you out. So I hate it.
It's like a sort of black market like thing just sitting there, just just want to cheat your way through. I can do that. Just opens his like overcoat and just pulls out a cheat, you know. Yeah. I mean, I suppose in the old days there were literal cheat codes you could put in to do the same thing, but I mean it just seems a bit a lot more seedy somehow, doesn't it?
Yeah, and to patch it in afterwards as well.
That's
not,
very,
you know,
seedy, yeah.
It's not like they were just sat there and said, oh, we could put some microtransactions in. It's obviously been built into the game from day one.
Exactly. You can't turn it around that quick. They just held it back. Yeah, why wouldn't they in from the get-go? Exactly.
Activision do the same thing with Crash. Was it a Crash Team Racing remake or something?
They
waited a couple of weeks, didn't they, and then stuck them in.
Yeah, and they made a big song and dance with Crash Team Racing originally that there was no microtransactions and everything could be collected in-game, you know? I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker as well. I bought it, and bam, straight, catch them in. I hate it.
You just feel like game developers are always trying to find sneaky little ways of just getting a little bit more money out of you every single time, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it was Capcom as well, actually, who charged for Big Head Mode, which used to be quite a common cheat code back in the day.
Yeah.
And for Dead Rising, that was a downloadable content to get Big Head Mode. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like I say, I'm mooning on principle because I haven't actually bought Resident Evil 4 yet. So I'm not sure if I will, to be honest, because I quite like the original Resident Evil 4. I'm not one of these people that thought it needed a remake. So what I've seen of it, there isn't quite enough there to convince me that it was a necessary remake. But everyone seems to be enjoying it, so I'm not going to rain on their parade. But
I've never played it. Never played the original, have I?
are you a fan of Resident Evil in general,
I
or?
am, yeah. It's fun. I've played all except 4 and 6.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, play
It's
four,
just,
it's so good.
yeah, it's just one of them that I'm scared now. It's not going to live up to the hype. You know, everyone tells me that you need to play that game. You need to play it. It's sort of morphs from Resident Evil more into a Dead Space style of gameplay, doesn't it?
Kind of,
It's
yeah,
like
it's got that over
the Dead
the.
Space owes very much to Resident Evil 4, doesn't it?
Yeah, they did. There's yeah,
Yeah.
there's a lot of heavy influence there, especially with the sort of camera points and the over the shoulder and all that kind of thing. But Resident Evil 4 is just so unapologetically campy and gory, and it knows it's ridiculous. And because as the Resident Evil games went on, particularly I'm thinking particularly 5 and 6, they were really po-faced about the storyline and how they took even to the point. The final battle in Resident Evil 5, where Chris is punching a boulder
Yeah.
to get past the game treats it really seriously, like it's a really serious event. It starts to take itself really seriously. Resident Evil 4, it's got all the gore and all the horror elements, and it's got a decent little story there, but it knows it's silly. It knows the
Yeah.
ridiculousness of the concept, and it really plays up to it. And it's really charming to just, I don't know, I won't spoil it because there's bits I could point to particularly that I like. But if you haven't played it, I will. It's best for you to sort of experience it firsthand, I think. But I
Yeah.
just love how tongue in cheek it takes itself sometimes, not to the point of outright parody, but just enough that it's having fun with its own concept. I think it's a lovely game. It's really good. I say lovely. It's a game about horrible violence, but in a lovely way.
Yeah. I must admit, of all the, because I haven't played any of them because I don't really like horror. Because I've always thought I might be a bit too scared by them, because I'm a wuss. But I've read about some of them in retro gaming. In fact, the most recent issue did a full Resident Evil 4 thing, and it does sound like possibly the one I would go for if I were to go for some of them, because it does look quite cool.
Yeah, I mean it's more of an action game than
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
outright
Yeah.
horror.
Yeah.
I would say the same way, Rick mentioned Dead Space. The original Dead Space, I would say virgin it the needle ticks more towards horror than action, but it straddles that line between the two genres, I think. It's not
Yeah.
outright horror, it's not outright action. It kind of balances it. So yeah, Dead Space is another one. I if you don't like horror though, I'd probably go for Resident Evil 4 first.
Yeah. I'll put it on the list. I'll get around to it at some point.
See, Dead Space, that was another game ruined by microtransactions. They added that Dead Space 3, they built around microtransactions. But you could buy credits to upgrade your weapons and stuff, and look what happened. We didn't get another Dead Space game for, I don't know, a decade? Ban them. Get rid of them.
Yeah, not allowed anymore.
Well, to be fair, that's EA. I'm surprised it took them 3 games to put them in.
Oh, yeah, it's
Yeah.
Okay, if you take away one thing from this episode, it's microtransactions are a bad thing. Don't do them. Stay away from them. Right, so
They'll
should we get
get you
on
every
with,
time.
yeah, so we, and I'm going to find the title of this game, unless one of you wants to say it. But you've got to say it perfectly.
Okay, I'll say it
Go
perfectly.
on.
So it's Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness,
Yay.
Episode One.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, cool. Did anyone play beyond episode one, or did we all just play episode one?
No, I didn't play it beyond episode one.
I've played episode two, not this time, but I played it in the past.
Okay, good. That's cool then, because I didn't finish episode one, but I got through most of it, so that's all right then. I was worried that you two would have just gone off and played all 4 episodes, and I just wouldn't have a clue about the rest of the game.
Are we going to have to put like a language warning on this? Because I think there might be when referring to some of the enemies, there might be a little bit of
It's going to be
spicy
difficult not to, isn't it,
language.
really? I'll bleep it out. I'll put some nice sound
Okay.
effects over it like I usually do. Yeah, it's fine. Okay. So when we come back from the break, and Rick's about to find out that we do actually literally take a break now, Just for like a few seconds. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about that game that Rick just said.
The Video Game Book Club.
Welcome back. So this month we're talking about Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness, Episode 1.
You cheated there. You had that written
down. Of course I had it written down. I couldn't possibly remember it otherwise. I've never had a game where I couldn't remember what the hell the thing was called. But yes, this is a four-part episodic game based on the Penny Arcade webcomic. Episodes 1 and 2 were developed and published by Hothead Games and were released in May and October 2008 for PC, Mac OS X, Linux, Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. 4 years later, Zeboid Games picked up the ball and developed Episodes 3 and 4 in a completely different graphical style, releasing Episode 3 in June 2012 and Episode 4 in June 2013 for Xbox Live Arcade, PC, Mac OS X, Android and iOS. I wrote that when I thought we were going to be talking about all four episodes, so it's not strictly relevant, but I'm sure we'll touch on them. This is an RPG set in the 1920s. Episode 1 begins with a custom-made character of your choosing joining forces with Penny Arcade's Tycho and Gabe after his house is crushed by a giant robot. They proceed to bring various clues to Tycho's mechanically-minded niece, Anne Claire, in order to solve the mystery surrounding a large-scale robot invasion. So, Rick, what made you pick this game?
Well, I had so many thoughts of games to pick, and they all just seemed too mainstream, if you will. Mm. You know, and all the big ones I thought of, I was just like, no, because you seem to, a lot of the times you go for more niche games, don't you? And I thought
it was
perfect for that, and I just thought it needed a bit of a spotlight on it. Get it out there to your massive audience.
Yeah, yes. It's going to have a surge of downloads now, isn't it?
just to get more people to play it.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of Penny Arcade before I bought the game. I think I bought it maybe 2008, 2009. I was like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, watch the video on it or whatever. And then, after playing the game, I was like, oh, I really like that. Oh, they've got a comic. So, and I think the comic. The webcomic started back in like 1997 or something.
It's been around for a long time.
26 years now or something. It's crazy.
Tibbs, are you more familiar with the webcomic?
Yeah. Well, in a previous life, I was involved to some degree in the community surrounding a different webcomic, a gaming webcomic, Control Alt Delete.
Oh yeah.
I used to hang about on the forums there, and we did like a little community radio station there and things like that. I was really aware of Penny Arcade, because Control or Delete was initially, when it started, it was considered a bit of heavily influenced, shall we say, by Penny Arcade, and a lot of comics around that time. Penny Arcade influenced a lot. You know, it was one of the, not probably the first successful gaming webcomic, but easily the most successful, I'd say. It's one of the first ones to get really big, and the fact that it's still going today, it's huge. Well, like you say, it's got the Penny Arcade Expo now. You know, they've got quite a lot of feathers to their bow.
Yes, that's right. I was playing on PC with the mouse. Rick, did you play it on Xbox Live Arcade or something like that?
PS3.
Okay. So, how do the controls work? Is it like custom fitted for the controller, or is it like you move the thumbstick to control a mouse cursor?
It's not a mouse. No. What do you have? Is it? Do you have it more like a point and click?
Yeah, it's pretty much on PC. It's pretty much a point and click. Yeah.
Oh right, no, it's you control your characters with the left stick.
Ah.
It would have been handy actually to have, or maybe it hasn't. I've just not touched the right stick to be able to move a cursor with the right stick, because sometimes I'm trying to like smash open a bin or something like that, you know, to get some item or something, and it I'm finding it hard to get it to what I want. You know, I'm moving the stick all the way around, and it's like not going. It's not settling on anything.
Yeah,
and then it's just, X is your action button, so that's like your click, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't have any of those problems with the mouse because it was quite specific. You could literally click on what you wanted, and they would go up to it as long as you're within range. Yeah, so that's quite interesting, because when I booted it up, I had my control pad all set up, and I found where's the control pad options, and it was all just point and click. So I considered having a go on the Xbox Live Arcade version, but I stuck with the PC one. So I was just curious, but the differences.
Well, yeah, honestly, I can see how it control a bit better with the mouse, to be honest.
Yeah, so it is very much like a point and click. Sort of a cross between a point and click and an RPG, really, if you play it on PC. So what I found interesting about this, the whole split between episodes 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, because you've got like a 4-year gap between them, and then 3 and 4 have a completely different graphical style, don't they?
Yeah,
so it becomes like a sort of a SNES style 2D game, whereas the first one is...
Yeah, it's kind of RPG Maker type thing, isn't
it? Yeah, that looks like that sort of thing, whereas this is a fully 3D sort of semi-cell shaded thing, very very of that sort of XBLA PSN era kind of look to it. It looks almost like a...
reminds me a lot of Costume Quest.
Yeah, me too, exactly. Yeah, very similar, that sort of era, where it's the it's almost, the graphic quality is almost like previous generation, but it's smoother and higher resolution, so it has that sort of look to it that you got with those downloadable games at that time, that you didn't quite get so much with the disc based ones which use the full power of the console quite often. So yeah, it had that sort of look.
And I love the comic panels in between, you know, like it tells the story through a comic sort of style, doesn't it? And that was all drawn by the Penny Arcade artist. I don't know if I've never heard his last name being said. I assume it's said Krahulik. I think it's Mike Krahulik. That's how you say it. But yeah, I think it took him hours and hours and hours of drawing all these scenes. I don't know if they're in this. I've never played this episode 3 or 4, so I don't know if they still have the sort of segues in between the comic style panels.
Yeah, I meant to do more research into it, but I didn't get round to it. So I was hoping one of you guys had a bit. So, but yeah, I don't know how they quite play it. I'm guessing it carries on. It must carry on with the same sort of humour. So there must be like dialogue and cutscenes and things like that. Otherwise,
as I understand it, I might be wrong about this, but the Penny Arcade writers, they had the storyline, basically what they wanted to tell, all laid out, and I think it was financial problems or maybe some disagreement with something went wrong with, you know, it didn't go to plan, let's say, rather than gone wrong, something didn't go to plan, and they couldn't make the episodes as they planned. So when the new developer took over, they've done episode 3 and 4 in the sort of the SNES 2D RPG Maker style. It is the original plan for the story that they had all along. So the same humor, the same, you know, it is the story they wanted to tell, you know, from the beginning. But it's just done in a slightly different style. But I don't think there's the comic panel kind of presentation in 3 and 4. I think it is just, you know, traditional RPG presentation.
Yeah, it was just a really interesting change, because you don't see that. I can't think of any other sort of episodic game that completely changes the style, you know, midway through. I don't know if you guys can.
No.
Yeah, it's just quite interesting.
I could think of one game that changes its style, but I don't want to say. Because I might pick it for a game.
That happens quite a lot. You want to say something, but no, I'm going to preserve that in the back pocket for another episode.
That way.
No, that's all right. So you start off with customizing your character. This was really impressive because, as you say, it's all hand drawn, but you can. It looks like you can do quite a lot of variety to his sort of look and things, and it looks like a properly, like someone's literally sat down and designed this character, which I was really impressed by.
Yeah, I think I was going to say the whole comic book aesthetic, especially with the panels and things like that. The obvious game that's done it before is Comic Zone.
Yeah.
I think it's really underused. I think it's such a neat way of sort of telling the story for a game, and especially if it's something that's based on a comic. I'm really surprised that more games haven't done it, to be honest, because
Yeah.
like Rick said, it took the artist hours and hours and hours to do all the art. So that's probably the main factor that prevents it from being feasible. But it's such a really neat way of telling the story, especially for comic based. You know, whether the origins of the property are a comic book. Yeah, I really think it's an underused style. I think we should. I'd be really nice to see more games, you know, take that approach to things.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. We saw it in Lollipop Chainsaw, didn't we? That had a bit of it, didn't it?
I did have a bit of it there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've also seen it in Gravity Rush. Did anyone ever
Oh,
play
yeah,
that?
I've got Gravity Rush, yeah.
Gravity Rush 2, anyway, that's what I played. I think it had a little bit. The cutscenes were told through that. But yeah, you don't see it a lot.
No, you don't see it as often as I think you should.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite cool. I like the battle system. I thought that was really fun. So it's got like a kind of it's what's the final it's the active time battle, the Final Fantasy one, isn't it?
Final Fantasy one, yeah.
Rather than strictly turn based, you've all got these timers ticking away for the like each character in your group has three different sort of things that they can do, and each one has a timer ticking away. So the first one is you can use an item. I think that comes in almost more or less straight away, but it's quite quick. So you can heal yourself. But then you have to wait a little bit longer to get a basic attack, and then you have to wait even longer to get like a full on like a more powerful attack. So you either just go in quick with weaker attacks to keep them at bay, or you hold at least one character back for like a heavier attack. And I thought that played out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like the block thing as well because you can press on the PC, you press space bar to block particular moves coming in, but you didn't it wasn't clear when they were going to happen, so you had to kind of know the animation of the character attacking you before you really know exactly when to press block, because some of their animations look like they're going to attack you, but then you don't, and then it sort of comes in a bit later. And if you do it exactly the right time, you can even counter as well. So it's kind of like a really engaging way of getting you to play like an RPG without just sort of sitting there and pressing buttons, and taking your time. I really like that.
Yeah, it's not like a, I guess a comparison I would say would be when Rick said earlier about his the football manager game he was playing. It's like a sort of simplified version of a more complicated football manager. I would say it's kind of like that. It's like a really sort of boiled down RPG. It's, if you're used to playing sort of really complex JRPGs and things like that, it's not a patch on that, but it's just got enough of that it's got the feel of that without being bogged down with all the intricacies of a normal RPG, I think. So it seems to be a theme running through this show, but it straddles that line between accessibility and your RPG elements. But does it quite well. I think it, yeah, like you say, it's quite engaging.
Yeah, again, comparing it to Costume Quest, which you've covered previously on the show, that had a much simpler battle mechanic
Oh yeah.
that was a bit too basic, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Whereas this, as you say, it feels involved without being super intricate like the proper quote unquote RPGs.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you get on with the battle system, Rick? Did you like it?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Struggled a bit to come to grips with the blocking because I just keep missing him. I'm doing
It
him too
is.
early a lot of the time.
Yeah, me too. It is really hard. You have to really sort of memorize the sort of animations as they come in.
Yeah, and even if you're trying to use an item with someone or something like that, and you're not watching the screen, you're just going to miss it, and you're going to get hit for like full thing. I like the special attacks. When you fill the full bar up, and you can do the team up attack, you can get like two if. Two of you have got full bar, you can team up, or three of you can team up. But if you just do the individual ones, they've all got like a mini arcadey sort of thing, like the one where you just button mashing X and then you have to hit a cursor when it goes over a line, and like your rake one, you've got a dial spinning round, you have to hit it in the four correct places. And then Tycho's one where you have to, it's like a QTE event, isn't it, where you have to. Well, I don't know how it worked on PC. On mine, it was a QTE event, and it just pop up like triangle, circle, square, or X, and you had to do about seven button presses.
Yeah, it's a little bit different on PC, but I can't think now. Because there's one where there's like a... you got to keep tapping spacebar to raise the bar. And then it, the thing comes back and you've got to get it right. There's like a sweet spot and you have to time it right. A bit like Undertale. And there's another one where it kind of goes around in a circle and you have to tap the spacebar at the right times when it hits these certain areas of the circle. And there's another one that I can't remember how it goes now. But I think it was like the PC equivalent of a QTE, I think. Possibly. Like, I don't remember specific buttons on the keyboard that you had to press, but I think it was something like that. But it was something appropriate for the PC. But yeah, anyway, it's just like these interactions that you've got to get right to change the strength of your attack. Very like Undertale, just attacking an Undertale, which is basically just that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So all really good. I liked when you get Anne Claire, and she's got she can come in for like as a guest character, like a super move, but her timer ticks very, very slowly and it goes across multiple battles, so it's a bit like the sort of a limit break from like Final Fantasy, so you can only use it every few battles, but it's really, really damaging. And the cat, of course, that you get early on,
that's brilliant. Thomas Kemper.
Yeah, so he comes in, literally just licks himself, and then pretty much nothing happens.
Well,
and that's a move.
There's another one. His move's called Grooming or Dooming.
Yeah.
So the grooming is where he comes in and licks himself. He does one damage to every character, but then he's got another one, and he comes in and coughs up a furball, and it does 999 damage to everyone.
Oh, does it? I didn't see that one. Did you get that later or something?
I never saw it the last time I played, but this time I've been playing through. I've had it twice.
Oh, really?
It's complete. I think there's like a 1 in 2.5 in 100% chance or something like that.
Amazing. Yeah, I thought there would be some situation where he would just like kill everyone somehow, but it'd be like really specific and only appear like once or twice in the game. Yeah, but I love that. That's hilarious. Yeah. So just like a little support cat that comes in.
Yeah.
But that leads us to the humour, because there's so much of it around every turn, really, isn't it? In like the dialogue and things, and just it's just really well written. I'm assuming it's just in line with the kind of the humour of the comic, I guess.
Yeah, it's all written by the writer of the comic, like Gabe's the artist, and then Tycho's the writer. The
word okay.
Oh, so right. He wrote it all. Jerry Holkins, I think his name is.
Yeah, can you think of any particular things that tickled you?
Anyone? Well, the best one for me was the salesman at the boardwalk area.
Yeah,
and you can't get in without a ticket, and it's like, well, we're going to come in anyway, or whatever. And he says, "Right, I have the security here, and I have the right to sodomize unruly guests." So I'm just like,
yes. And just like the weird, intricate like pricing system of all the things that he offers. Like one thing is worth like one token, another thing's like 10,000 tokens. And there's just so much like witty dialogue. Like all the dialogue tree from like those things, you can choose different things to go down. You go down these little rabbit holes of like conversation. And it's one of the things that's hard to describe, but it's just when you see it, it's really sort of witty. You just go through it with a big smile on your face because it's so funny. I liked in the hobo alley, whatever it's called, the sort of the university guy who's waiting for,
a urinologist.
Yeah, who seeks to understand the scientific results of like urinating on different things. And he's been waiting for like 27 years to be given a grant by the university.
It is pretty much in line with Penny Arcade's comic.
Yes. And the fact that the apartment building is just called the shithole. There's something so wonderfully blunt about that. It's just, there's that. That's there's a lot of toilet humour in there.
I mean, the biggest one is the robots. Am I allowed to name them?
The fruit fuckers
2000.
Yeah.
The prime.
Yes, a lot of effing and jeffing in this game. So, be aware of that, definitely. So, any other funny things? I like that when you flee a battle, you get like a little chicken noise and a baby crying sound effect.
Well, I've never done that.
Oh, yeah. No, no, I think I did it.
Back to the
I think I did it early on when I was getting a bit beaten like there was a point where I couldn't quite beat the enemies that I was doing, and I just had to change my strategy a little bit. So I had to, like, I did back out a couple of times, and you get this like little noise. It's just really funny. This where I got to. I just beat the boss, which was that the guy who runs the hole, and he's got that the blonde guy who's stealing all the hobos. Just beat him, but I didn't get to because I think I got the ticket from either that or doing something else, but I didn't go back to the boardwalk to go in there yet. So I don't know, if did anyone go in the boardwalk, the area, see what was there?
No, I didn't.
I didn't complete it this time around. I was very lax in my playing, and I didn't actually start till today.
Okay, fair enough.
So well, should probably play that game now, seeing as I'm talking about it tonight.
Yeah.
But I've completed it before. But yeah, I got to the boardwalk area, and there's just that's where like the mimes are based. And
The mimes. Yeah.
Can I go into the story? I don't know how we on spoilers.
Yeah.
You don't normally.
We don't normally do loads of spoilers, but as it's a 4-episode game and we've only done the first episode, we can just, yeah, carry on.
Right, so you find out that the mimes have found this book, this lost artifact book, which is how to summon a dark god. And it's like an eldritch Cthulhu kind of god. So he's massive, takes up the whole screen, and he's in his mime gear. But he's got like a Cthulhu type head, you know, squiddy type head. That's the last boss. But yeah, there's lots of mimes to fight on the boardwalk. There's one mime there who's got out of the game. He's just going to go back to doing birthday parties and things like that. He didn't sign up for all this murder. But before he can, I can't remember what item you need to get off him. But before you can get this item off him, he wants you to help him out. He needs you to go and find his three, mime essentials, which is like his invisible rope, his invisible box maybe that they get trapped in, and something else. So you have to go and fight mimes to get back his gear. And again, at the boardwalk, that urinologist, his big dream is to pee on the big wheel.
yeah.
So at the boardwalk, there's that like mini model. Did you see that?
Wheel. Yes, I think I did.
Yeah. So eventually the guy comes down from his price of 100 billion, a million billion tokens, yeah. And he'll sell it you for 3 because the pinwheel market's crashed or something. So he'll sell it you for 3 tokens.
Yeah.
So you get that and you go back to the urinologist and give him it. And he's like, oh, it's a happy day. And this is years of research finally coming to fruition. So he pees on the thing and it breaks. And he gives you a bottle of his pee that's been on the wheel. And that's what you need for the final upgrade for Gabe's weapon. you're upgrading your weapons with the weapon parts, aren't you, that you get from robots and stuff.
So yes.
You do, I think, two upgrades for each weapon. Mm. And then she's like, I don't think parts... And Claire's like, I don't think parts will help anymore. We need special something. So Gabe's one is he's already got his brass knuckles with spikes stuck out. That's his last two upgrades. And he has to just like dip his hands in this pee. And that's his ultimate weapon. I can't remember what the other two's ultimate weapons are now. I think your rake gets like a mechanical upgrade or something. I think it's Essence of a God or something like that that you get pick up somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the gun one is at all. Again, I probably should have started the game a few days earlier and I could have got it finished again.
No, that's all right. I think we've done quite well to go through it. Have you got any memories about episode 2 that we should know about without too many spoilers?
On episode 2, there is a trophy for examining a withered pair of rhinoceros testicles with genuine enthusiasm.
Fantastic.
Which was always a good one. Yeah, you go to this asylum. You have to rescue this Dr. Crozier or something, I think it is. And the guy that runs the asylum is like a big game hunter with like one of the old, what they called them, giant guns with a massive...
Like Blunderbuss,
that's it. So he's chasing you with one of them, but you get to his office, and where normally you'd have like a taxidermied a rhinoceros head or something, well, he's got the back end of one. So you have to move the cursor around and click on these testicles about 5 times. And you get this trophy, it's just that's the thing that's always stuck out to me.
Yeah. It just illustrates how much charm you can get by just inserting some humour into a game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can, it's a good fun game, and, you know, in its own right, but just these bits of humour and this sort of witty dialogue, and it can really make a game stand out in your mind, can't it?
What does it say about us that all the games we find funny are the ones that are the most puerile humour, though?
Yeah. Well, quite often that's the funniest thing, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
There is a reason, you know. But yeah, it's well worth checking out. It's pretty cheap on Steam when I got it. I think it was on offer, but I think I only paid like a couple of quid for it. But I think its normal price isn't much more than that, so it's well worth picking
up. It's usually like a fiver or something, I think. It's pretty cheap. Like.
Yeah, I mean, that's for episode one, and in each one you have to pay. But I mean, it's a good way. Just download episode one. If you like it, just get the rest. You know, it's good. I think I got one and two in a double pack, actually, but I just never got around to two. But I might
that's
do
the
so
only way you can buy it on PlayStation, I think.
That might be the case on Steam as well now, actually, now that I think of it.
I think it is on the PlayStation Plus service, maybe extra, maybe the middle tier or something like that.
Oh, is it? Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah.
But just, again, it's just the first two episodes on PlayStation. Xbox got the last two and PC, obviously. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah, PSN missed out on it, sadly. Yeah. So it's a good game. Go and check it out. That name again, in case you need it, is Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness. I do wonder why they bothered to call it that. I mean, I think that's just kind of a joke in itself, really, isn't it? In a way. Like, Penny Arcade Adventures would have sufficed. I don't think there's any other Penny Arcade game, proper games, is there, really? Not that I could see.
No, I don't think so. What was the name of the band that did the music for it? They got a big, long name as well, haven't they?
Oh, I don't know.
No idea. I know this.
I'm going to have to find it now. Hang on.
Okay, off you go. There's
an MC Frontalock song on the end credits. I know that. I didn't know there's a band did the music.
Right, yeah.
Maybe it's from one of the other soundtracks. Putting my notes together, I remember seeing. Ah, here we go. Right. Episode 2's ending song is Some Things Man Was Not Meant to Know by The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets.
That's quite a good band name, isn't it?
It's a good name for a band, yeah. Darkest Hillside Thickets.
Thickets, yeah. I like that. It's a good word to say that, isn't it? Thickets.
Yeah.
Tibbs, what are we playing next? It's your pick.
It is my pick. I haven't played this game before, but I think it's something, it sounds like a good pod-em-up game. Mm. It's a game, it's a 3D puzzle platformer.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the PC.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also on PS4 and maybe the Switch. It's called Sephony.
Okay. I don't think I know it.
No, I was going to say, the overwhelming silence from everyone suggests that you're not familiar with it.
What's how do you spell it?
Yeah, it's spelled Sephonie. Sephony.
Oh, okay, it looks quite nice.
Yeah, 3D puzzle platformer. Apparently, it's got some nice twists and turns,
Okay.
Yeah, should be something to get our teeth into. If you apparently to complete the whole thing, the main story is about 6 hours. So, even if we don't play the whole thing, we should be able to get enough done to have something to yap about. Yes. So
cool, okay. Yeah. Alright, I look forward to playing that. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so on Twitter. We are at podemup. Email is podemup@gmail.com and podemup.live is our website with all our past episodes. I'm still offering free Steam games if you want to email me or tweet at me. If you do that, if you tell us, if you're a regular listener, if you tell us what you listen to us on and how long you've been listening, you can help yourself to a free Steam game. That's
some good ones as well.
Yeah, which Rick did as well for your son, didn't you?
Yeah, he played that for all of 10 minutes as well.
Oh, okay, well.
He's a nightmare.
Never mind, I'm glad it found a home. So you can pick up Biomutant, Street Fighter V, a load of Sonic games, Crazy Taxi, Death Stranding. Are you going to throw in the pile, Tibbs?
Was
it Death Stranding? You wanted to pick up Little Big Adventure last time, didn't you? I completely forgot about that.
Actually, Actually, I bought that.
Oh,
I
you
bought
did.
It myself.
Oh, you bought it yourself.
I did, because it was on sale on Steam, so I picked it up.
Okay.
They've actually, the developers of it, have actually open sourced the game.
There you go.
So people can sort of mod it and tweak it and play with it and do what they want. And they've actually got some remastered versions coming out soon as well. So you can wishlist those on Steam. If you've never played Little Big Adventure...
It's got an elephant in it that tells you about a signpost or something. What was you supposed
to? Yeah. Did you look that up?
No.
Oh, you should.
I should. Yeah, I will.
What are you doing there? Did you know that you can read the posters? It's brilliant. It's brilliant. If like some of the elephants are bad and they'll shoot something out of their trunk at you like a little ball.
Yeah.
But the poster one, he's all right. He's a good one. Mm. And you got to hide in the back of a bin van. It drives around. It's a trip. Honestly, get it played.
Sounds amazing. Cool. Okay. So there's all that. Rick,
I should have picked that, shouldn't I?
Yeah. You can change it
but
if
no,
you want.
No. We'll stick with Stephanie.
All right, we'll do that another time. Rick, do you have anything you want to plug?
No, not really. Well, I might as well throw my YouTube out there.
Yeah, go on.
I very, very rarely post anything. I went through a little phase of posting about 3 videos in a month, and that's the most productive I've ever got. But it's Redbeard Rick's Retro Room. There's no C in Rick. That's about it. I occasionally put stream stuff on Twitch. Again, I'm just Redbeard Rick on there, but it's not something I do that often, to be fair.
No, it's good. I've watched a couple here and there. Yeah, it's good.
It's hard to get noticed.
It is very hard.
It's hard to find an audience these days, isn't it?
I mean, we struggle with that enough. So, yeah, I mean, YouTube, where everyone is like blaring that, it's difficult. So, yeah, go and check out Rick's YouTube channel. I saw that one where you were going through the Mega Drive games that you picked up as well. That was a little while ago, wasn't it?
I think that's got like 140 views, which is
very nice. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Awesome. Well, it's one of them. The thing is, if you want, you have to go and post it all over the place, and I just can't be bothered.
Yeah.
You have to post it in all these groups, and then you have to engage with people and say, "Oh, come and watch my video and stuff," and they're just like. No, it's not worth it.
It's awkward, isn't it? Because you don't want to appear like you're joining a group just to do that and then leave, do you? So you have to spend a bit of time hanging out with people talking about other things and then sort of sneak it in and then hang around for a bit. Yeah. So it is difficult. I should probably do that with the podcast as well, but I can't be bothered.
No, I can't be bothered.
So we'll continue to complain about why no one listens to us when we can't be bothered to put in.
It's fine. We might only have 20 listeners, but we're among friends.
They're 20 excellent listeners.
It's quality, not quantity.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, Rick, how did you find our podcast?
Ollie.
Yeah.
I've posted on Twitter that I was looking for retro gaming podcasts. Wanted recommendations, and Ollie just pops in and said, "Oh,
I literally searched for like looking for retro game podcasts or something in Twitter." Just, and I do that every once in a while just to see if I can solicit pick listeners directly. And that's what I did with Rick. Yeah. And then and then he sent us a lovely email saying he's listened to every episode. I think that's the one time it worked. Well, I should do a bit more of that because clearly it's a winning formula. Thanks for coming on, Rick. We've had a lovely episode. Come back again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we've had a great time. It's been good. It's good to get another voice here and to bring in some new stuff that we wouldn't have played otherwise. So come back again. We'd love to have you. Anyone else who listens to us regularly wants to get in touch, maybe we'll do the same as well. Who knows? It's been great to have you, and I hope the listener has enjoyed this episode of Podem Up. Tibbs, have you got anything else to say?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm spent.
You're spent. You're done. You're out of here. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.